Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's going to be an NFL-centric day with the Rams and Bills kicking off the NFL season tonight. We're going to make our predictions, MVP, division winners, wild cards. I went with the NFC and AFC championship game. Did you go that in-depth? And then the Super Bowl and the winner?
I got the whole playoffs filled out.
So you went ahead and did your whole bracket?
Yep.
Didn't make it that far, but I did the championship game, Super Bowl, and a winner. So we'll do that. We'll preview the AFC, the NFC, just talk NFL for most of the show. Right off the top, rough go of it yesterday for the Elk City Elkettes softball team as they ran into a buzzsaw down there at Tuttle. So we'll update where that kind of stands district-wise, as we talked about yesterday. So there's that. And then also, we didn't get to Mike Gundy's comments about the expanded playoff yesterday. I'd love to get everybody's thoughts on that and what Mike Gundy had to say about playoff expansion. So that's what we've got on our plate today. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That's 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com, or you can download the Paragon app. The app is free. It's got all the goodies, the three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News is out. Pick up a free copy of the Penny News wherever you go to get such a thing. I mean, you're talking about gas stations, restaurants, all over the place. You can find the brand new Penny News or check it out online, thepennynews.com. And of course, inside that app, there's also Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. The Elks take a step up in class as far as competition on Friday night. Tomorrow night, it's homecoming. Canadian Texas coming to town. That'll be the first real, true, good test of the season for the Elk City Elks. Also, Paragon TV, Merritt's off this week, but Hollis hosts Velma Alma. And so you'll be able to see that one on Paragon TV. And then also, if you miss our show entirely for some reason, and you want to go back and listen to what we had to say, you can do that a couple of different ways. KADSAM.com has a list of the podcast, or you can go to iTunes and find it there. If you go to iTunes, you can subscribe, and then guess what? You don't have to find it. Boom, it shows up on your phone each and every day when a new podcast drops. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Man, I'm glad you didn't wear that shirt yesterday. We'd have looked like kind of Twinkies with what I had on.
Did you have a little purple on?
It was 2 days ago, actually.
No, I couldn't remember.
2 days ago. Anyway.
I haven't worn this one in a while, so I threw it on.
I actually purchased a couple of shirts online this morning.
I'm horrible at that.
I'm like,
I got shirts that are good.
For that reason.
They pop up with some deals.
Up, and it's like, oh, man, that looks sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. You're going to give me what off? How many? 40% off.
Oh, they got you.
Take my money.
They got you. Get ready for a ton of stuff like that on your feed.
Take my money.
On your Facebook feed. That's how it works. They got you.
So I ordered a couple of shirts today.
See how there's worse things you could buy, especially going that route. There's some stuff you just need.
I
don't need that.
I've just about built up enough points with buying some shorts, and I needed, you know how that goes, just kind of like what you're talking about. You look around and you're like, these are still fine.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. And then you realize these aren't still fine. These are falling off of me, or they've got stains all over them.
Yeah.
And so the problem with that theory is, and you look and all of them are like that. So you almost had to make a complete overhaul, which, I don't know, would it be better to buy one pair or two pairs every summer, or say six pairs in one
you
every
what?
5 years?
I tried to do one time, it was kind of like a New Year's resolution type thing, was I said I'm going to buy myself one piece of clothing, nice clothing, once a month, okay? Not too extravagant, like You know, a new pair of jeans 1 month, a new shirt the next month, new shorts, nice shorts, you know, the next month. And, you know, so it doesn't really add up, just kind of like, okay, you know, and that wouldn't. I mean, and if you're going for one shirt a month, you could probably spend a little more than what you would normally do. And just to keep up and to keep your wardrobe fresh. I did that for a few months, and I just kind of lost track. I want to get back to doing that. And, you know, then you can kind of budget for it. You know what I mean?
You could see
a shirt and go, you know what? Ooh, I like that shirt. But it's not the end of the month. It's not the new month yet. So I'm going to make note of that and come back.
See,
and
the
get
problem
that shirt.
For me with that, I could probably do that, but I would just end up with more shirts.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have the discipline to, like, it when it gets,
yeah,
like right now, for instance, or maybe you should probably do this in, say, April when they go on sale. But like jeans, first off, I hate jeans.
Yeah.
And so when it came to, hey, buy a new pair of jean month, I'd probably just say, you know what? I like that shirt. I think I'll get that shirt instead.
Yeah.
And I'll just end up with the same pair. I'll just end up with the same pairs of jeans forever, which is fine for me because I don't like them. I mean, if my goal is for this winter to never wear jeans.
I never understood jeans, like having a wide variety or wide amount of jeans, a large amount of jeans, because to me it's like, well, that pair of jeans looks like that pair of jeans and that pair of jeans, you know, four or five. That's as much as you need.
I've got two. I've got two pairs of jeans.
My wife's jeans collection, I'm probably going to get in trouble for this. You know, we have our own sides of the closet. Well, her jeans, and she hangs her jeans up, and her jeans are creeping over to my side.
Yeah. It's a good thing it's a good thing we have separate closets.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of colors of jeans in the other closet. I just want blue.
Yeah.
And I actually have kind of a faded-looking blue jean.
They match everything, yeah.
It doesn't cramp your style because they're so tight.
But back to my clothes thing, I had a rotation. Like, it would go shirt, pants or shorts, depending on what time of year it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I even threw like socks, you know, just keep your socks updated and your underwear and stuff like that. It just kind of had a rotation going. So I wasn't buying shirt. And then I've dropped the ball on that. I need to pick that back up.
Anyways, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So the Elkettes took one on the chin yesterday down at Tuttle. They lose 8-0. Lady Tigers scored 5 runs in the first inning. Things kind of slowed down, and then they added 3 in the fifth. Elk City just never could get anything going offensively. Let's see. At one point, they had struck out 14 times. Let me look at the final tally there. But just a couple of hits. Just one hit. And 13 strikeouts in an 8-0 loss. Tuttle had 10 hits. The Elkettes committed 1 error. But that, you know, when you get behind 5-0 against a team like that, it's super difficult to come back, and the Elkettes just didn't have it. So now that's 2 straight district games in which they've been shut out on back-to-back days, 3-0 to Cash and then 8-0 to Tuttle. Drops them down into 3-way tie with Cash, which right now they would not have the tie break because of that loss to the Lady Bulldogs. Actually, they split, I guess, got 6-0, and 3, so they would have the tie break because they've got 4 district points more once that loss hits the ledger from 32 down to 24. So they'd be 4 runs ahead of Cash in the race for third right now. But, you know, realistically, any chance at a district title probably went out the window yesterday, being 3 games behind Weatherford, or 2 games behind Weatherford, excuse me, in the loss column with only 1 with the Lady Eagles left on your schedule. And only a few district games left. So that was one of those games. We talked about it yesterday. It was going to go a long way in deciding how good a chance Elk City had at actually being the district champ. With the loss yesterday, it's going to have to have a lot of things go Elk City's way in order for that to actually occur.
Yeah, and if I think we call it what it is, maybe they're slumping a little bit. Good to get this out of the way now, fix some things and move forward. Everything is still in play. Now, things are going to still have to happen in your favor, but I guess I'm talking like a coach now. You can only control what you can control, so they just need to get back to it, take care of business on the field, get the wins, you know, let's see what else happens. And the ultimate prize is still in play. That's, you know, getting playoffs and make a deep run there. So they'll be fine. And you know, that's the thing about softball, baseball, basketball, seasons like that, is they're a marathon. It's not a sprint. And the Elkettes came out of the blocks fast and furious and now slumping a little bit, but I have no doubt that they'll get back on track and they'll be fine. So learn from losses is what I always say.
Yeah, and as we talked about when they did beat Tuttle that first time, all that does is create bigger games down the stretch.
Yeah.
And that's what has happened. And there's still, you know, the ability with Weatherford and Cash and everybody in Tuttle as well, right there pretty bunched up still. You know, one, if you can end up, they're 5-3 right now. If you can end up 9-3, sweep the rest of the games within the district, which, quite honestly, if you could beat Weatherford at home, probably should do. Because that's the one game at home against Weatherford a week from today is the final game for Elk City, at least, amongst the top four. The other three, I guess, with Cash and Tuttle and Weatherford. They will be done with those three teams after next Tuesday. So you got two with Clinton. You've got an Anadarko game there as well. Those are games that you have to win to be able to vault yourself, put yourself in the strongest position, because as you know, that can make a huge difference being second in this district versus third, and where you have to go and who you have to play and
right.
All that kind of stuff,
right,
as the playoff pairings get announced. In that 2A District 1, only Minko played yesterday. They knocked off Mangum. So Minko remains undefeated, as does Merritt, but Minko's played a bunch more district games. They've played 10 versus Merritt 6 at the moment. So the Oilerettes, from here on out, they got two today against Frederick, which ought to be wins. Then next, what would that be, Monday the 12th? That's when it starts. They got two with Hobart, and then they finish up the following Monday with two with Minko. And those two with Minko could very well decide who is the district champ in 2A1. And then we ought to start having some playoff pairings out of Class A and Class B here pretty quick, I would think. Within the next week or so, we probably start seeing that filter out because those are all decided by rankings as opposed to these district standings. So 2A, fast pitch softball really heating up. And here within the next week or so, I think we'll start talking playoff matchups and the like.
Yeah.
Speaking of playoffs. Last week, big news out of college football before the game started was, or I guess on Friday, is the playoff committee deciding expansion was going to be the way to go, expanding out to 12 teams. It looks like the model is going to be the highest ranked six conference champs and then six at-large bids from there. The top four get byes. 5 through 12 will play the first round on campus, and then you start using those New Year's Six bowl sites as the quarters, the semis, and then somewhere for the finals. It was met with almost universal acceptance outside of Stillwater, Oklahoma. And Mike Gundy had some interesting comments, some of which I agreed with, some of which I thought, what is he talking about? But essentially he said, Why are we trying to fix something that's not broke? College football isn't broke. Why are we trying to fix it? He also said, tell me, we can't get competitive games with four in a playoff. You telling me 10, 11, 12 have a chance to win? And then he also said something that I think really was the most controversial part of what he said, that expanding out to 12 diminishes what makes college football great, which is that every game matters, meaning during the regular season. What are your thoughts on what Mike Gundy had to say?
Well, in that last part, why does diminishing the rest of the season, if you're expanding out to 12, I thought having just four kind of diminished the regular season, because when a team that was not on an upper tier, like in Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State, say around that three tier, you know, we're tiering teams now, right? If they took one loss, boom, season's done. They had no chance to get into the playoff, even with a conference title. Wouldn't this, in theory, mean this opens up the – I mean, you could suffer a loss or two, still win a conference, get highly ranked, and get in?
I would take
Doesn't
it,
that make
I would
it
take it
the,
out from a team. I would take it out nationwide. Because think about this. The way this playoff has been since 2014, by the time we roll around in November, who really cares? The SEC, multiple locations there.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside of that, it's been Clemson, South Carolina, Norman, Oklahoma, Columbus, Ohio, and South Bend, Indiana. Essentially, that's been the only places in the country. Nobody has cared about college football in November west of the Rockies outside of 1 year when Washington snuck in there.
Right.
So 100% agree. This keeps everybody more engaged because, yeah, we don't have to be in the top four. Just win our conference, and we're there.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the part that yeah. I could not disagree with him more. I think this, if anything, this college football was headed such to more of a regional sport a la baseball because only a few teams were really a part of it. And now expanding the playoff, and with the geography not really meaning much as far as the conference realignment, it's trying to go to get back to a nationwide thing anyway. And that to me, this is exactly how you do it. You know, think of the games that we've seen in the Big 12 where, you know, and even in the Big 12 title games, an upset in that title game, all of a sudden you got people more invested in to get there as opposed to, well, even if we upset OU, we're not making the playoff. Now it's that those games become way more important than they ever were for both teams, not just one. You know, sometimes the SEC has two teams that can make it. But that's not always. You know, that Florida team that Oklahoma played a shell of itself 2 years ago in the Cotton Bowl. That team was every bit the closest game Alabama had with a chance to win it. You know, I mean, at least as realistic as anybody else had all year. And the ramifications that holds. So I think that part of it. Now, if you want to talk about the competitive aspect of number 12 will never win the national championship, that's probably right. I don't disagree with that at all. But when it comes to diminishing games in the regular season, I think that's exactly opposite of what's happening by expanding the playoff. Just because more locations now have a vested interest in results of games in November into December, because that gives their team a chance to make the playoffs.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
And another thing, a lot of those places, we view, I think, through a lens of it's only the teams that can win it matter. You don't think it's not going to be a feather in the cap to Utah or whoever else in the Pac-12 to finally get back into the playoff? Oh, look, hey, our conference has been shut out, but we're back. And what else does it does bring? The element of Cinderella that the 14 playoff doesn't. And that's another thing that people love.
Yeah.
That's why everybody loves the basketball tournament. People don't love the basketball tournament because Cinderella wins the whole damn thing. They love it because they win once.
Right.
Number 12 doesn't have to win the whole thing for it to throw it into chaos. Because think about what's always, or at least right now, what's always going to happen. Number 5, the way it's currently constituted.
You're talking football.
Yes.
The football
playoff.
Yes.
The fifth, number 5. You know who that would have been last year?
No.
Georgia.
Georgia. Okay, yeah.
Because they weren't a conference champ.
They were not a conference
champ. So you don't think number 12 upsetting number 5 wouldn't be a huge thing?
Right. Right.
And right now it looks like the way that these two teams are, whoever loses the SEC title game between Bama and Georgia is going to be that 15.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I think there's a lot. If you want to talk about just simply who has a chance to win it all, well, there's not four of them that have a realistic chance to win it all every year, and not very many years.
Yeah.
But that's not what the whole thing is about. The whole thing is about making somebody, and I think it's going to make a big difference not to have the huge layoff. Teams will be playing quicker after the conference title game. So I think you'll see maybe not different results, but better games at least, more quality games than the big, long layoff, knocking off rust for a quarter or what have you. And then sometimes one team knocks it off, one team doesn't have any, and by the time the end of the first quarter, the game is over. Nobody wants to watch it anymore.
Oh, and another thing you can guarantee with a 12-team playoff, you got 12 teams without players opting out. So the quality, obviously, any playoff game is going to be good. And but on the other side of it, just kind of point counterpoint, I was thinking about this. Yeah, we have this 4-team playoff now, and it's been dominated by a handful. Maybe even less than that.
Maybe even just two.
Alabama, Georgia, or Clemson, Ohio State, Clemson.
Really just Alabama and Clemson.
Alabama, Clemson, yeah. At the end of the day, do you see that changing at, towards the end of this 12? You know, you'd like to see everybody have a chance, more teams have a chance, and create upsets, and you never know what could happen. But at the end of the day, I'm still seeing Alabama and Georgia and, you know, Clemson on a good year. Winning it all.
Sure.
So what's going to happen? Are people going, oh, well, we need 24.
No.
We need 18. We need to expand it more.
No, because I think at some point you do get it so watered down where you have to stop.
Yeah, so that's where I was a little worried about the 12th team. I thought that was, man, it's a big leap from 4 to 12. Does it water it down? Does it diminish the product? I don't think so, because I saw the format with the conference champ and how it's seeded. I like that. And you know, you have motivation to, hey, we could have one more home game.
Sure.
And then you got to know administrators like that making money.
And then it gives you different matchups at different times. Because as I said, Georgia and Alabama would have been a semifinal.
Yeah.
And then you have to come off of that grueler, whoever wins, to play whoever wins the other one. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
in different order.
So I want to look up what that bracket would look like last
year.
Oh,
I've seen it. It would have been Bama, Michigan, Baylor. I think Cincinnati would have been the four teams with byes.
Don't give me a paywall.
I can't remember. I've seen this. One of the games would have been OSU. OSU would have hosted Ole Miss. You would have had Georgia versus I can't remember. I've seen this at right after it came out. Just a couple that you wouldn't want to watch.
Well, yeah.
And this is a great point that's made on the text line to me as well. The expansion would have helped Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy is why this guy says the dumb part of his argument. I could not agree more.
Yeah, they would have been a 9 seed last year.
Yeah, they'd played Ole Miss.
Right.
Okay, so they'd have been at Ole Miss. I thought it was the other way around when I saw it.
Man, that's a game I would have signed up for.
Absolutely.
Man,
what was 5-12? Yeah. Georgia and who?
5-12, Georgia and Pitt.
That's right,
Pittsburgh.
Pitt. And then 11-6 was a decent one.
Utah and Notre Dame.
That's right. And 10-7
was
that
a Utah ended their year last year, that would have been a heck of a matchup. Ask me again. Who'd you say?
10-7.
10-7 would have been Michigan State and Ohio State.
No, I knew it was a game that would
say one that like, oh, well, okay, a conference game again. Okay, whatever. But listen, it's a playoff, so you never know. I'm watching that. I'm paying attention to them. Yeah, absolutely. I have no problem with this.
But I think it in-state school-wise, I think it helps Oklahoma State immensely because there's always a spot now, guaranteed. For a conference title.
Mm-hmm.
And with Oklahoma and Texas moving out of the conference, Oklahoma State sure won at the top of the list of who could kind of take over. Then Baylor, BYU, Cincinnati, whatever it is. But their chances just went from less than 5% every year, let's say, just on an average, to somewhere between 15 and 25 maybe. If not higher.
And staying in state, OU, and I guess let's throw in Texas in there, moving to the SEC, you got to think they like it too because they could suffer some losses and still have a chance to get in. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there will be very few two-loss SEC teams left out of this thing.
Right.
You know, probably three minimum each and every year. From the SEC, two of those six at-larges, you could see that very easily. So I think it's good for both.
I do too.
Let me know if you want to look at does expanding it the field get more people that can win a national championship? No. Does expanding the field get more people that can rock the boat on the way to a national championship? Absolutely. Because don't tell me upsets don't happen each and every damn week in college football. How many times Alabama lost to an unranked team last year?
Right. Well, I if it doesn't hurt the game overall, I'm good with it. And I don't think this does.
And it brings more eyeballs.
Yes.
Hey, the Western Oklahoma, before we leave the college football realm, the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em results from the first week. Listen, if you didn't play along, you just missed 1 week.
Yeah, you still got a chance get back against in. Me.
Yeah, I mean, you can catch Jared, you can probably catch you this week.
My measly 6-4. Yeah.
You can come play ESPN's website. Click the college pick'em. Type in the Skinny on Sports as the group, and you can fire off. You've got clear till the conference title week. I mean, basically 4 months of football. You missed a week. So if you do really well, you can catch right back up. Don't worry about that. So if you want to come play, you still can. No reason not to. Skinny on Sports is the group. West Oklahoma Realty, thank you to Tyler Harris and Robbie Allen and all the gang down there at West Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. Let's come play. Somebody's going to win a cool prize. J-Mac, 9-1. We sure Kim didn't pick those? Didn't seem like his normal performance.
No comment.
Our defending champion with a strong start as well, Andy Peffer at 8-2. Ooh, I know that I'm positive Coach Ham's wife probably picked those. They're at 8-2. No, we can't pick on him too much. His grandma died. Sorry. Condolences to his family. Red Tornadoes won. Are we assuming that's Billy?
Probably.
Billy's there.
Hottie Toddy. Who could that be?
I know who Hottie Toddy is.
Could be our man sponsoring.
I'm positive it's Tyler Harrison.
Yeah.
I was there as well. It's 7-3. Coach Christian, I'm sure this is him on the messenger. 7-3. Dakota, 7-3. I haven't found you yet, Jared. Oh, let me hit the next page.
I just yelled it. 6-4.
Ah, there you are.
Right there with Michael, Mr. Price.
Coach Maynard. Right there. He mentioned he was 6-4 yesterday.
I wonder if I can you go back and look what you missed? I think I can.
I bet you can.
Let's see. I got Michigan.
I missed OU.
I missed Oregon.
I missed Oregon.
I thought it'd be closer.
I did,
obviously,
too.
I think a lot of America did. I missed OU.
I did, too.
Didn't cover.
If we'd have got the kickoff line, we'd have both covered.
I missed Ohio State.
I did not miss that one.
I picked Louisiana Monroe, and after the first two throws of Ewers, I thought, I might win that one.
That's when I missed it.
An incomplete and a pick, but they covered. Yeah, so live and learn.
I was way too high on the points of Notre Dame, Ohio State. I went 48, which I thought was low scoring compared to everybody. What I thought everybody else would do.
What did I pick on that one? Yeah, I'm right. I said 49.
Did you?
Yeah.
See, I figured people would think that was going to be 50s or 60s.
Me too. I thought that would be like a, maybe not as bad, but like a Georgia-Oregon outcome because it was in the shoe.
I was thinking like 31-17.
Something like that? Okay.
That half point was going
to
be the difference.
I just didn't think Notre Dame was going to be able to move the ball.
And they weren't.
They do.
All right, so everybody, if you didn't get involved, get involved. Western Oklahoma Realty College, pick them.
Some fun games this week.
There are some fun games. Let's talk about them tomorrow.
Outside of Alabama, Texas.
Yeah, we got to get to the NFL.
It's not going
to
be fun.
All right, let's start with the NFC, because that's where the Dallas Cowboys reside, and I think that's where the team that the most people listening root for, or against.
Or against, yeah.
Either way. So, let me ask you one question off the top. How many teams do you think can win the Super Bowl? Not get there, win the Super Bowl in the NFC.
In the NFC, how many do I think can win it? I think one, two, three. I'll say three.
Ah, no kidding.
Three. Final answer.
That's what I've got, too. Who are they?
I will go with Rams.
Uh-huh.
I will say the Buccaneers. As long as they have Tom Brady, they got a shot.
Okay.
And Packers.
I said Packers and Rams. I did not say the Bucs.
Okay.
Because of that O-line, man. That is scary stuff with the injuries that they've had. I went Niners.
Okay.
Rams, Green Bay, and Niners as teams that can win the Super Bowl out of the NFC. And that's a way smaller number than what I'm going to have when we get to the AFC.
Oh.
I think there's way more quality teams in the AFC than there is in the NFC.
Okay.
NFC East. Dallas, the defending...
hard division to pick.
Division champ. How worried are you about that O-line with the loss of Tyron Smith
bit.
For at least half the season?
We'll see. Well, a little bit. They brought in, help me with the name, but brought in
Jason Peters.
Jason Peters. Well, yeah, I mean, he's no Tyron Smith, but...
He was at one point.
At one point.
That, he may just be too old to be that anymore.
Yeah, brought in an old guy. So we'll plug him in and see how it goes. Yeah, it makes you worry. It makes you wonder. But, you know, we didn't see the full gauntlet of offense. You never do in the preseason. We didn't see Dak. Didn't see Zeke. We didn't see, all of it. So we'll see. We'll see week one against the Buccaneers. But it does make you wonder, does that hold him back a little bit? You don't want Dak scrambling for his life.
And in the one of the craziest stats in the NFL going against the Cowboys is in the NFC East, there hasn't been a repeat division winner since 2004.
Right, that's why I said it was, for that stat alone, 2004. It's a tough division to pick.
Listen, kids, 2004, you know who's on the Eagles? Donovan McNabb, T.O., and the coach was Andy Reid. And they were in the midst of a run of four straight NFC East titles at that point. So it's just kind of one of those weird things that you see out of nowhere. There's really not a bunch of explanation as to why that happens, other than outside of a few years, the teams have been all fairly mediocre maybe. You know, obviously the Giants in 11 winning the division and the Super Bowl, but they were only 9-7. You know, and that's another thing you see here. Hell, 2020, the Redskins were 7-9 and won the division. So there's been ups where you've seen a 12-4, a 13-3, but there's also been those years where everybody was just kind of okay and somebody had to be the winner. In the NFC as a whole, I think the West is loaded with three really good teams. I think the South is the weakest division, along with maybe the East, just depending on how good Dallas and Philly are. The one thing about the East versus the South, I do think there's a chance where there could be two good teams with Dallas and Philly. In the South, do you trust Jameis, Baker, outside of Brady? The South looks pretty weak.
But on the other side, I mean, the South is so weak, and you mentioned Buccaneers' problems up front. Maybe that could be an advantage for the Saints or the Panthers.
I would love to fire somebody else out there.
I can't, though. I'm with you. I can't.
We're going to make those picks in a little bit.
After Tampa Bay, the rest of the three are like, well, where do I put them?
Well, and then you look – I was even trying to look at, like, okay, who do they play? Like, what divisions do they match up with? Mm-hmm. And maybe there's an easy schedule and somebody has an advantage with home and away. Like, the one good team from the other division is a road game for Tampa versus a home game. Yeah, well, they play the NFC West in the NFC, and then the AFC North – which is the bruising division as well. So there's not really a ton of advantage to say like Atlanta or Carolina getting an easier schedule, a way easier schedule than you see that sometimes.
Right.
Where if you can just get that third or fourth place schedule the next year, then you get such a break. That's not really the case with the two divisions that they play. So I don't see that as being a huge advantage either. And then up north, I know I put Green Bay as a team that can win it all just because the pairing of LaFleur and Rodgers has been so good in the regular season and they've won so many games, leading to MVPs for Aaron Rodgers. It's hard to keep them off that list, but that's another – I would love to pick somebody else. I know a lot of people are liking the Vikings as a possible division winner with that offense. Kirk Cousins, heck, I saw people picking him to be the MVP yesterday.
I saw one of those, yeah.
Michael Irvin, Kyle Brandt on NFL This Morning or whatever that shows on, I can't remember, Good Morning Football. He picked him as the MVP as well, which seems crazy, But look back at what he did, and everybody's enamored with Justin Jefferson. If you play fantasy football, you know how good that dude has right. been or can be. So there's some things to like there, especially if you think Green Bay's offense takes a dip with the loss of Davante Adams.
Yeah. But hard to go against Rodgers, and I could see them making a – oh, he likes – his pairing of wide receivers, he's pretty narrowed down. So I could see him going, I need that guy over there, or I need this guy over here, and that could put him over the top. But even without those guys, they're still winning games. So,
all right, is there a player in the NFC that you think has infinitely more pressure on him than anybody else in the conference?
That's a good question.
Or a coach? I think there's one of each.
Well, you naturally, when you say player, you go to QB1. So who's the most pressure-filled guy? I mean, it could be Baker.
I don't think so, because I don't think there's expectations.
That's a good
point. I do think it's a former OU quarterback, though. Kyler
You think
Murray.
It's Kyler Murray?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Signing that big deal. It's finally out there in the media and in people's minds just how big a dip Arizona has taken at the end of these seasons since he's been there, and then now it's translating back to Cliff at Texas Tech, just how they fall apart year after year. That playoff game against the Rams was awful. And then of course, the don't study, don't read your playbook, don't watch film stuff pops up as well in that contract, and that gets out. I think there is tons and tons and tons of pressure on Kyler Murray to not only get off to a good start so he doesn't have to hear it, but then also that's almost inconsequential. If you get off to a bad start, that's horrible for him because of what's happened down the stretch. And so to me, he's got more pressure than anybody in the NFC on his shoulders.
I can go with that, absolutely.
Coach-wise, that one's easy too.
McCarthy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100% Mike McCarthy because of the way he's flubbed some things at the end of games, that playoff game last year. While being, I think, the right choice in ways, that last play, not having it executed soundly the way that should have been, just nailed down, simple deal.
Right.
And his mismanagement of timeouts, his mismanagement down the stretch with the clock. There's a lot of things there. And by the way, the overrating of Dallas's talent, which happens each and every year. There's that, too, that puts extra pressure on Mike McCarthy. Let's go to the AFC. How many teams do you think can win the Super Bowl in the AFC?
I will go, let me count them out loud. One, two, yeah, two, three, four. Yeah, four. I feel like you're going more than that.
Yeah, I've got six, and ooh. I really wanted to add a couple more.
Okay. Who do you got?
Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Kansas City. And I drew the other one out of a hat from the West. I picked Denver.
Okay.
I went with Denver. I could easily add the Raiders and Chargers. I could add that whole division out there in the West.
Yeah.
And then I love, but I don't think they can win the Super Bowl, but I love Miami. I love Miami. But I stopped with six. Who you got?
What did I say, four?
Mm-hmm.
Let me expand to five. You talked me into one. I'll say Bills, Ravens, Bengals, Colts, Chiefs, and I was with you about Chargers and Broncos, but I like Herbert, so I'll stay Chargers.
Yeah, that's
– nothing against Wilson, but new team first year. Even Manning didn't do it the first year when he was in Denver. They'll be good, but I don't know if it's going to be immediate success.
Chargers are a team to me that is set up for the fall.
You think so?
I mean, they've never done anything. They've been flashy, but they haven't really done anything with Herbert other than just be better. They made some big moves, obviously, in the offseason to bolster the defense, but they just feel to me like the team a little bit Brownsy last year, you know, coming into the season after winning a playoff game, which Herbert didn't do. But you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The expectations were off the charts for the Browns, and it just didn't go well. I get that sense about the Chargers a little bit. Plus that tough division. Man, the division is tough. And they play the NFC West. which is just murders. I mean, tough, yeah. That is going to be – there's going to be some great games between those two divisions. So I could see – but like I said, I just drew one of those out of a hat. Let's go to the same question. Who do you think has the most pressure on them in the AFC, player-wise?
Let's go with I know you like the Dolphins. I'll say Tua. This feels like a make-or-break season for him.
Man, doesn't it feel like that in a lot of places? All around the league? You know, we talked last year a bunch about with that quarterback class of five first-rounders and each of them really drawing pretty rave reviews in the preseason heading into the season. You know, when is the torch passed? With these guys getting up there in age, obviously Brady at 45, Rodgers, is he 40 yet? Approaching it for sure. You know, when who is it going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And that never really came to fruition. Burrow a little bit, I guess, as the playoffs went along. It kind of stepped forward out of that pack. But you still had an older guy in Stafford. You know, it didn't feel like it was that – coming of age moment for a lot of those guys. And so here we are again, same thing, except for this time, instead of trying to come of age, you're trying to keep your job.
Yeah.
That's the case at Miami. Could that be the case at San Francisco? They're going to a younger guy. I don't think Trey Lance loses the job, but I mean, it's time for him to be better. Fields, Lawrence, obviously Baker is playing for his job as still kind of a younger guy. You know, and there's more around the league. Mac Jones, he hasn't looked very good in the preseason after looking pretty good last year. And so is it one of those things where the league is going to catch up to some guys that started out hot and they'll have to adjust? But Tua, I agree, except for one guy. And this one guy has it all on his shoulders, literally, because of the way he is handling what's going on off the field. And that's Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson has more pressure on him than anybody else in the league, period. Doesn't have a deal. He's like his own agent.
Yeah.
On the deal. He's been an MVP, got dinged up last year. Man, I think Lamar Jackson, just think of what is on the line for him. Generational wealth. I mean, not only like playing good football and getting your team in the playoffs and winning, but also generational wealth is on the line for him this season. And it looks like he gave the deadline of tomorrow to negotiate to get a thing done before the season starts. If that doesn't happen, which it doesn't, no one believes it will. Now you're talking about playing this year with all of that on your shoulders on a team that people don't remember, even as hurt as they were a year ago, going into December. That was the one seed in the AFC. And then then he got hurt, and that showed you who else was hurt, basically.
Right.
So to me, it's Lamar Jackson across the board. But Tua's there too, because Tua has all the weapons in the world with those guys bringing in Tyreek Hill to fit alongside of Waddle, Gesicki.
Yeah.
There's a lot there to love about the Dolphins. What about a coach?
Well, because he's a first-year head coach, I'm not putting him on – what is his name over at Denver? Hackett? I think I looked him up. So he's immune to this question. But you'd think there's some pressure there. They bring in Russell Wilson. They expect to make playoffs now. If they don't, but he'll get a pass. But I think Mike Vrabel at Tennessee, there's some pressure there. If there's been a lot of expectations over the years at Tennessee that have come up short. And a lot of people like the Colts in their very division. If they maybe don't even get a wild card spot, he might be on the outs.
I'm going to go with Staley out at the Chargers just because of how how innovative, quote-unquote, he thinks he is. With the going for it on fourth downs, all of that analytical stuff that he does that people that play Madden love and people that watch real football maybe don't as much. I think that he the moves they made, everybody loves Herbert. Everybody loves that offense. Everybody loves the idea of the Chargers. If it doesn't go well, and especially it doesn't go well because he does some dumb stuff, thinking he's doing right, trying to be the smartest guy in the room,
yeah,
I think that can be kind of the guy with the bullseye on his back. So I'm going to go with him out there at the Chargers.
Quick note on the Chargers. We talk about pressure. Any pressure on them because they are in the same town as the defending Super Bowl champs? Or do you think it's like, you guys can be okay? I mean, does that make sense?
Honestly, I think it...
Or do they like not getting paid attention to?
I think it helps them to be in that town instead of in San Diego where they were. Because there's not a bunch of Chargers fans in L.A.
Yeah, see? It's like kind of under the radar team. Well, okay, we're good, whatever. They can have their parade, but we're going to go over here and win games.
I think not a lot of people
are going to notice it until it's time.
There wasn't a whole bunch of people to notice it until everybody was rooting for a tie. last game against the Raiders last year.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to make your picks?
Absolutely.
All right, it's the time that you get to go back and critique what we say.
Hold on, let me stop the recording.
Stop the recording so nobody has nobody can go back on the podcast and tell us how much we were wrong. We are going to make our NFL picks right now. You want to start in the AFC or the NFC?
Well, NFC. For the same reasons why we started there at the beginning.
All right, NFC will start in the East. NFC East, who you got?
You want an order of finish? Or just who our champ is, who my champ is?
I want you to tell me who is the champion of the NFC, just the division winners.
I'm going to buck the trend here and say Dallas wins it.
Really?
Yep.
I'm going with my man Dustin. I'm going with Philly. I've got Philly winning the division. I do have Dallas as a wild card, though.
Well, I do have the Eagles as a wild card.
So we both got two from the East. Okay.
Yep.
NFC North, who you got winning that division?
I went with the Packers.
I went with the Packers as well, and I didn't want to. I wanted to pull the Vikings trigger so bad.
By the way, shout out.
And then I remembered Kirk Cousins was their quarterback.
Yeah. Shout out to Detroit, though. Did you see they basically have standing room only for their opening?
Yeah, first time they sold one out since 2019.
I mean, it helps being on Hard Knocks, but there's a buzz there with their new coach and how they played last year. That's cool.
There is. I went in Green Bay as
still
well.
Still kind of finishing last, but that's cool.
Did you have a wild card from the North?
I did.
Minnesota?
I did put Minnesota.
So did I.
Yeah.
The South. Ooh, Dakota. Dakota went there.
I wanted to
go there so bad, but I just couldn't do
it. What, in the South?
Yes.
Did he put Carolina?
No, he put the Saints.
Oh, he went the Saints.
He went Saints.
I went with Buccaneers. Listen, until the GOAT actually retires.
I went with the Bucs as well. I don't.
Namely because it's such a weak division.
It is.
It's still Tampa Bay.
But now you're seeing
Did they get Julio Jones?
Yeah, Julio Jones who hadn't practiced in 2 years.
Well, yeah, him. And still, I mean, yeah. I'll go with Tampa Bay.
And now Giselle's mad because he played again. I mean, there's a lot going against the Buccaneers, man. New head coach. Arians isn't there anymore.
New head coach, yeah.
Yeah. Kudos to Dakota for having the stones to do it.
Good job.
NFC West.
Rams.
I had the Rams as well, and then my other wild card is the Niners.
Mine too.
San Francisco 49ers.
Mine too. We have all the same playoff teams, it looks like.
We do. It's not a good sign.
But in the same order.
We just flipped Dallas and Philly, I guess.
As far as seeding, though.
Oh.
We'll figure that out later.
Yeah. I didn't go that far.
Oh, I did.
Oh, did you really? Who do you think's the top seed?
Rams.
See, I think the Rams are the best team, but I would rather play the Packers schedule. Because the Packers have the NFC East and the AFC East versus the Rams playing the NFC South, which is pretty weak, but then the AFC West.
Yeah.
And plus in their own division. All right, let's go to the east of the AFC. Are you going to pull the trigger on an upset?
No, Buffalo.
I got Buffalo as well. I do have Miami as one of the wild cards.
I do not have Patriots.
Do you really?
Yep.
See, I think the Patriots.
Can you believe we've gone this long talking about the NFL without mentioning the
Because I don't think they're going to be very good.
I got them in there. I do.
I just don't see it. I think Belichick has worn out his welcome. It's time for him to go.
I do them have them as a 7 seed, though.
So I've got Miami
barely.
There. All right, in the North, Cincy or Baltimore?
Okay, this was fun. This is where I was flipping a coin. I went with the Ravens. I think Cincinnati is going to still be a wild card team, but I think they take a kind of a step back, take a couple lumps, but I think they figure it out. But I think Baltimore, Harbaugh, Lamar, I think it all works, and I think they take the North.
Agree. I have got Baltimore winning that division. Do you have Cincinnati making the playoffs, though?
Yes. Yeah. Like I said, I have them as a wild card. Yeah.
As do I. In the South?
Colts.
Colts as well. You brought up a team that it's one of those that we never talk about. And then you look up, last year they were the one seed going into the playoffs, the Tennessee Titans. Man, I don't know. They lost the receivers, A.J. Brown, Tannehill, Derrick Henry's health coming back. Everything looks good, but could Matt Ryan be kind of what unlocks the offense up there in Indy? He's clearly better than Carson Wentz, right, even though he's old? I've got Indy, and I do not have anybody from the South as a wild card.
Me neither. Mike is out.
Variable.
Mike is gone. I think he's gone because, like you said, one seed last year, no playoffs this year. They make a change.
West.
Kansas City, Chiefs taking it. I do have the Chargers as my wild card.
I've got the Chiefs as well. I have Denver, as a wild card with the Chargers not making the playoffs. That can make me look pretty stupid at the end, but I just don't trust them.
I don't trust a first-year head coach. Give it a year. I think Russell Wilson in the new – give it a year. But not this year.
Hopefully Russ doesn't have to cook, and they'll hand the ball to Javonte Williams a bunch. All right, NFC championship game.
NFC. I have L.A. Rams over the – and I might have – I'm going to regret this one, but over the Bucks. Tommy in the playoffs, they find ways to win, except in that game.
I have a rematch with the Rams and the Niners. AFC championship game.
I have Buffalo over Kansas City.
You and everybody else in the world. Let's see, who'd Dakota? He had Colts, Chiefs. I've got Chiefs and Baltimore.
Oh, wow.
Chiefs, Ravens for my AFC title game. Who's your Super Bowl?
I have Buffalo winning the Super Bowl over the Rams.
Over the Rams. I had the Rams playing Kansas City, and I have a repeat. I think the LA Rams go back-to-back and defeat the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Did you pick an MVP?
I did pick an MVP, and you probably should know who it was by who I had in the conference championship game.
Tell me.
I am betting on Lamar Jackson.
Are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
I got Lamar.
See that table right there? Unfold it. Oh, dear. I'm about to jump on it. It's Josh Allen.
Oh, good grief.
I'm all Buffalo in this one. I think Josh Allen gets the MVP.
I got Lamar as the MVP. You've got Josh Allen. I think he's betting on himself, and I think he's going to come out smelling like a rose.
It usually works out that way, doesn't it?
Sometimes not.
Sometimes, but you've seen it work out that way.
We have. Dakota's got Chiefs over Rams. A shocker.
Whoa.
I can't believe he picked the Chiefs.
Wow, picking the Chiefs.
That's different.
Wow.
Herbert as his MVP. I think that's if you're right and I'm wrong about the Chargers being in the playoffs, then I think Herbert will be a huge part of why. So that's if you don't want to just go Josh Allen or Rodgers or Mahomes, I think Herbert's as good a choice as a lot of the other ones that could be there.
I can't give Dakota too hard of a time because I did have the Cowboys winning a playoff game versus.
He's got him in the NFC title game.
Well, I got him winning a rematch with the 49ers. But losing to the Rams in the division.
They can't. Oh, yeah, you had them win in the division. That's right.
Yeah.
We'll be right back there in Jerry World again.
Yeah, but I have them avenging that loss and then losing to the Rams.
Give me one wild, wild prediction. You know how we did that at the end of the – like?
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Well, we said last – what did we say? Saban would retire. We were both agreeing on that one. Is this Belichick's last year?
I've got one.
If they don't make the playoffs, as they say, I'm retiring. What do you think? What's
yours? I've got one. This time next year, when we talk about the Dallas Cowboys, their head coach will be none other than Lincoln Riley.
And press the button. We're done. Okay. I don't see that. Okay. 1 year at SC, and he bolts. With this character still in question with how he left OU, how do you think that would look? He don't care.
Nah.
Not when there's a paycheck coming from
I mean,
Jerry.
I said make a wild.
It's wild. Yeah. It's wild. Maybe Belichick's not as wild. I could see that happening.
Well, yeah.
That's realistic. That's wild. That's wild. Oh, okay, I'll go in that kind of in the same vein. No, I won't.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say the Cardinals were going to hire him.
Well.
But they already tried that West Coast or West Texas offense, and if it didn't work the first time, why go get another guy like that? Why go get Muleshoe?
Tebow.
I was being nice.
Well, I'm not. All right, thanks everybody for playing along. It'll be Garrison Financial Friday tomorrow. Can't wait to see what Scotty's got for us. Preview the high school football as well. College football weekend, NFL. Sure, we'll recap. Who you got tonight? Rams, Bills.
Oh, well, like I'm going to have to go Bills.
So they're going to win the regular season rematch?
Unfold the table.
I've got the Rams. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!